Welcome to the Love, Heal, Thrive podcast, where you learn to love yourself enough to heal and heal yourself enough to thrive so that you can live a life that feels whole and complete, untriggered and unaffected by the people, places, and emotions that surround you. I'm your host, Erin Gray. I'm a hypnotherapist, Reiki master, medium, certified meditation and Enneagram coach, and simply someone who has experienced and seen energy and energy patterns her whole entire life. And it's been hard, but I have learned it doesn't have to be that way. I want to help you learn how to build an empowering life that turns your energy sensitivity into your superpower, and to learn how to own every room you walk into with magnetic, amazing energy and experience the powerful, satisfying life that comes with it. Each week, I will offer you helpful tools and insight from my own journey, as well as bring in amazing guests that help you on your journey by sharing their incredible story. Together, we will learn how to love ourselves enough to heal and heal ourselves enough to thrive. I'm so happy you're here. Let's get started. Welcome. I am so happy you are here. This week, we are going to dive into how can you get a handle on your feelings? I think this topic has such breadth to it. I think the general handle on the feelings can be anger or sadness or grief or maintaining emotional equanimity. It can also be on excessive joy. It is really paying attention to where we spend our thoughts and our energy. In this episode, I'm going to break down precisely for you what you can do to begin to feel better today, because it's all about perspective. When we change our perspective, everything changes. I have a heartfelt story. I have a daughter in college, and she needed a bunch of clothes that she had left at home. And so she'd asked for me to send them. I put together this huge flat rate box packed with innumerable pieces of summer clothing because I like to have fun. I include a bunch of glow in the dark things too. So hopefully they don't become glow in the dark clothes. But so anyway, yesterday I walked into the post office and I got in line. And then it turns out that there was this 18-month-old little girl in front of us. And I know she was 18 months because someone else had asked. She was making dog noises and cow noises. She was just absolutely darling. And at one point, the dad picked up the super cute girl and held on to her. And I just had this poignant moment of wanting to hold on to and squeeze my 18-pound flat rate box. And this realization that this chapter of parenting is literally a chapter of our life. It goes so fast. And you would never know because it's so exhausting and so sleepless. And yet, it is a chapter. And when that chapter is done, then they come home to visit. The people pleaser in me wanted to have a conversation, but I was just going to start crying if I did. And so I literally could not bring my vocal cords to make any sort of sound because they would just cry. So it got me thinking about perspective, and it got me thinking about today's conversation. You never know what someone is thinking or going through. That is my mission for this week, is looking at perspective and how we can get a handle on our own feelings as we shift and change our own personal perspective. So we're going to begin with shifting this perspective by looking at where we spend our thoughts, or I should not say where we spend our thoughts. We are going to begin with when we spend our thoughts. At what space in time are you spending most of your thought pattern? Is it in the past? Is it in the future? Or is it in the present moment? Where we spend our thoughts is where we send our energy. So unless we are spending our energy and our thoughts on the present moment, we are wasting so much time in the past and wasting so much time in the future, which we're going to dive into in just a moment. Often, we can find our thoughts ruminating on the past or imagining in the future. This is why the present moment mindfulness is so important. If we look at our thoughts as measures of energy expended in the same way you do a burpee or you mop the floor, it takes that much energy to have a thought. We can begin to tally up where your energy is being expended, maybe even wasted on a simple thought that we can do nothing about. We can't do anything about the past. We can't do anything about the future. Think about that for a moment. If you were to imagine your thoughts as bricks, and all of a sudden your head starts to get really heavy. I feel like I got hit by a brick wall. Imagine your thoughts were bricks, but this time not in the brick wall in your head, but in a bucket, or actually laying out a brick path. I want you to stand in front of bucket number one. This is road number one, rumination avenue. Rumination is our tendency to think backwards and to spend all of our thoughts backwards. So we can imagine this brick road named Rumination Avenue, and you can start to begin to walk down that. And then it tends to fork off into many different streets. There can be a really sunny path called the good old days, where we reminisce about the good old days. It's nice and sunny and happy, and we don't remember any of the bad stuff down the good old days. And then we have Memory Lane. And maybe there's a few trees on Memory Lane. Maybe we are a little more introspective and we remember most of the good stuff, but maybe there's a few stories that don't feel as good down Memory Lane. But for the most part, Memory Lane is very stereotypical. And then there may be a street named Regret that we regret over and over and over again. We play this story over and over again of an event, a phrase that we might have said, a conversation we might have had that we regret. But what does this do? We're going to continue on a few more streets, but I want to pause here for just a moment across the street. When we spend all of our thoughts and time and energy down the good old days, down memory lane, down regret avenue, we spend our energy there at that frequency. And so we draw in more of the same. We draw in more things that we regret, or the energy of regret, or the low vibration of regret. So we are not then attracting the life of our dreams. Aside from that, we're spending all this energy, which we will get to. We'll wrap it up and get back to that. But let me go back through three more streets. We have Worry Street, which can actually be not only in the past in rumination, but it can also be in the future street. Then we have the street of processing. Processing past events can actually bring us back to the present moment in a new and different perspective. If we spend too much time here, we are still wasting our energy. And the last and one of my most favorites that I used to spend a lot of time on this street is the wish I woulda street. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. For the longest time, I think we talked about this in a different episode, that I am just terrible at thinking so quickly on my feet that I used to have a lot of, I wish I would have said this. I wish I would have done this. Now I'm more content with my present moment. But how long have you been spending time on I wish I would have, or on Processing Street, or Worry Street, or Regret Avenue, or Memory Lane, or the good old days? All of these forks in the road are all parts of rumination. And what I want you to begin to look at here from a perspective shift is how much energy, time, and thought you are spending on any one of these paths. We can think to ourselves, oh, I don't ruminate. But when we look at all the different ways that rumination shows up, we may find that we spend more time here than we realize. As we begin to shift our perspective shifts. How can you get a handle on your feelings? We do so by figuring out the map of our thoughts. Before we move on, just notice how full is that bucket, or how long is that road, and how much time you have spent there. Now it is time to stand in front of bucket number two, Imagination Avenue. So we can take a walk down Imagination Avenue. And there are forks in the road here too. We can walk down Prediction Place, where we begin to think about what might have happened if you did X, Y, and Z, Z, Y, and X, or Z, Q, X, all the different ways of things that might have happened, could have happened, might have happened, would have happened. And Prediction Place runs adjacent to Possibility Park, where we too combine all the different possibilities of what might happen. And they're subtly different. Prediction is believing something could happen and playing that out. Possibility Park is we still exhaust our energy, but we're just thinking about all the different possibilities. Prediction Place actually takes you down the emotional journey of experiencing it. And have you ever noticed that where you might have gotten so caught up in your thoughts that you actually are believing it or playing out or having that conversation, or you're getting angry at someone or upset with someone about something that's happened, but it actually never really happened? Maybe that's just me. Maybe I've just done that. But my bet is you probably have too. I'm here telling you, you're not alone, because I have done it as well. I don't do it as much. I catch myself. If I start heading down Prediction Place, I stop myself and change my thought. I think of something else. I watch a funny something. I think of something else. I find gratitude. I try to resist the urge of going down that street because I know it just wastes my energy. This one might be similar too, but I like the street title I gave it. So Choose Your Own Adventure Court. This is possibilities, but much like a court, they all end up at the same destination. There can be prediction energy, where we live that energy and emotion. We have Possibility Park, where we name a myriad of different things that could happen in a thousand different ways. Or we have Choose Your Own Adventure Court, that all of those end up at the same destination. Like, this is a fun way to look at all the different ways our thoughts exhaust us. But this is my point. Our thoughts exhaust us and rob us of our present moment energy, because we've exhausted all the energy going one direction or the other without spending that time and energy here in the present moment with the people and the experiences that are waiting for you right here in this moment. How can you begin to bring your attention back to the present moment? Now stand in front of bucket number three, the present moment mile. This road is beautiful. It may even be gold bricks. It is shiny. It's the yellow brick road. It is delightful. There are people singing and happy and joyful for you. This is the moment where we don't waste our energy on rumination and we don't waste our energy on imagination. We are here walking down this incredible present moment road. What does your present moment road look like? I'd love to hear in the comments down below. How does that envision for you? But here in this present moment, can you notice what you smell, what you taste, what you see, what you feel, what you hear, and what you intuitively know right here, right now, without any question? Can you tap into this space beyond all those senses and connect with this divine presence that wants more than anything to shower you with goodness and love and is always guiding you, so you no longer need to force your personal identity, because your divine identity knows exactly where it is meant to be? It is always wanting to bless you. Which of your roads was the longest? How can you get a handle on your feelings by beginning to pay attention where your thoughts live? This is often why healers will draw in from all four directions, the energy from north, south, east, west, earth and heaven, to draw in this present moment energy, to create this sacred space so that we are present and connected with the divine here in this moment of connectedness. It is in this void of thought that we open ourselves up for divine connection. It's much more than just getting a handle on our feelings. It is allowing us to be in this present moment so we are gifted with the present of divine direction and divine blessing. So that was just time. Next, we move on to location. So this is just like every adventure movie you've ever seen. They flash up in the beginning of the movie, time and location. It was 1985 in the Redwoods. So first we did time. In what time are your thoughts living? And now the location. Where are your thoughts and experience living? Are they living here in the present moment, here around people that you are enjoying? Are the people around you helping you create peaceful thoughts? Or do you need to remove yourself from people in your life or an environment in your life. And this could be a for now. This doesn't have to be a forever. For now, do you need to remove yourself from certain environments? Are your thoughts in the present moment focused on right now and where you are right now? Or are your thoughts on the party that you attended last night? Are they still in that house? Were they at the place where you had coffee this morning? Are your thoughts still there or are they here, focused on the tangible, real moment that's right in front of you? Notice, when we simplify this into time and location, it becomes easier as we animate our thoughts and begin to pay attention where they are physically located. And we can begin to think, oh yeah, wow, my thoughts really are still on that party from last night. Maybe I should bring my attention straight here to this podcast. Actually, my thoughts are on the podcast now. But there are other times in my day that my thoughts linger and I lasso them like a little cowgirl and I draw them back here into this present moment. It is about training. I don't want you to feel like a failure if your thoughts are scattered along your timeline or your thoughts are not located always in the present moment in front of you. Mine aren't either, but I want to give you the tools to begin to wrangle them and rally them back here into this present moment as our goal. Let's just try to get them into the same corral and watch how different the experience of your day ends up being. How can you get a handle on your feelings? Once you've established when and where, let's take a nap to do some true healing. Ironically, Abraham Hicks, actually, one of their recommendations is to take a nap, an actual nap. That's not what we're talking about today. Mine's an acronym. But first and foremost, they say to elevate your energetic frequency, meditate, or take a nap. Because we cut our thought process so high and so hard when we nap, we can then allow our connection to the divine source to re-engage and we wake up from our nap more elevated. Notice. Just begin to notice all of this. And as you do so, you will begin to elevate your energetic frequency and draw in even more blessings. So how do we use a nap to get a handle on your feelings? Nap stands for N, name that feeling, A, assess the cost, and P, preach peace. We will dive into the goodness of taking a nap on all the levels in just a moment, right after this message. One-to-one coaching is a fantastic way to help shift your perspective and allow your mind and heart to think about relationships and life differently, like what street your thoughts have been living on. When you no longer take things personally, you elevate your energetic frequency, begin attracting the life of your dreams, and bask in abundance every single day. I would love to help you get there. If you're interested in learning more, click the link down below. Now, back to our show. N, name the feeling. By naming your feeling, you gain clarity of your energetic frequency response. Week after week, we talk about the emotional frequency chart. By naming your emotion, you can then begin to see what energetic frequency you might be resonating at. And you can begin to then choose a better feeling thought. You can choose something that feels better than the place where you are at. And that can be either you decide that you want to feel differently about the current situation, or you can just go watch something funny and elevate your perspective on a completely different topic so that when you come back to the current topic that is stressing you out, you see it from a different perspective and you're already at an elevated position once you get back there. A, assess the cost. At what cost are you holding on to this frustration? Are you missing out on connecting with your family? Are you missing out on connecting with your friends? Are you missing out on connecting with yourself? Is this emotional transgression and distraction preventing you from connecting, period, to anything and anyone? Are you using it as your excuse not to connect? Sometimes we can use it as an excuse, but my goal here is to help you come to this realization so that when you get to the end of your life, you aren't sitting there realizing, wow, I used that as the excuse not to enjoy this whole incredible ride. What's it costing you? Is it costing you your peace? And if this situation is costing you your peace, it is too expensive. And we have different currencies. We have emotional currency, which translates to energetic currency. And isn't that funny? Because it can be energetic currency within our body, but electricity and energy itself, that which lights our light bulbs, also has its own energetic currency. But here you are trading your peace for your frustration. And this will ultimately exchange and cost you your physical currency. It will show up as physical symptoms. Our thoughts trigger emotions. Emotions move energy. Energy manifests physically. At what cost are you remaining frustrated or hurt? And I've thought about that in times of my life when I needed to get and remove myself from toxic situations. That was the question I asked myself. That was really my trigger to get me to move on. At what cost am I here? What is this costing me? And when I think you begin to assess your life in terms of what is this costing me? And as you begin to love yourself more and enjoy being with yourself more and being around equally high vibe people, you're not willing to spend your energy on just anything. Finally, P. So we've got name your emotion, assess the cost, and P, preach peace at all times. The only words that trigger us are the ones that we feel on some level might be true. How can you recognize the part within you that got triggered and love up on that part of you and recognize that if it wasn't there, those words would have just rolled right off your back like water off a duck's back? Are you in peace or unpeace? Preach peace, preach peace. As you begin to start to have this awareness, this is a powerful awareness episode. As you begin to become aware of where your thoughts are, you will begin to learn to handle your feelings and allow yourself to open up to this divine presence. I have had relationships with people that I genuinely appreciated so much of what the relationship brought to me. But because those relationships ignited more unpeace in my life than peace, I distanced myself simply by saying, I don't think we draw peace out of each other. That's it. Because that was fundamentally what was at the core of it. And guess what? You can say that to the people that you have been wondering whether you need to be around right now or not. And it's not going to be a surprise to them either. They know it. Everybody knows it. Everyone can feel it. We believe that it wouldn't be okay. How much would your life and social life change if you were only surrounded by people who brought you peace? This has been my mission for the last few years, and I cannot begin to tell you. It's a dirty little ride, let me tell you. Because as you begin to become aware of who brings you peace and who doesn't bring you peace, you make appropriate changes to your life. However, I am going to tell you that this is for now, because you change and they change. This is a for now. And this is the carrot that I want for you, is maybe you need to not be in their space right now. But as you put more tools and techniques into your life to become untriggerable, that is my goal for you here, is for you to be in a room with anyone and be untriggered, because you are so sure, so connected, so divinely connected, and so self-connected that no one or no thing can disrupt that. Until then, find the people who make you feel peaceful. I cannot stress to you enough how important your peace is. Pay attention to where your thoughts are when they walk down Rumination Avenue or Imagination Avenue. How can you redirect your thoughts so that you can begin strolling down present moment place? Find the people who make you feel peaceful. Be the person who makes other people feel peaceful. And most importantly, become the person who makes you peaceful. How can you get a handle on your feelings and make space for this incredible divine connection? Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I hope this awareness is helpful for you. As you begin to account for where you spend your time and your thoughts. Good luck this week finding peace and being peace. And hey, before you go, will you take a moment to like this episode and share a comment? And if you really loved this episode, can you please share it everywhere that you would share your favorite podcast to help spread the healing and help make this world a better place? Thank you so much for being here. I will see you next week. Love yourself enough to heal. Heal yourself enough to thrive. Take care.